This is the Brandt and Sherry podcast, sponsored by Metashare. For more info about the show or about Brandt's book, Unoffendable, check out BrantHanson.com.
So I have this thing that happens increasingly, and it's because people respect Sherry and love Sherry very much. But what they don't want to do is be that white person that you become that black friend. I had somebody tell me that last night.
What?
They want to know what you think.
They want to know what I think.
But they don't want to be that white person that comes to their black friend and says, tell me what you think is a black person.
Right.
Because they feel like that's cliche.
If there's anyone you can go to do it, I would be the person because I have been that person a long time. So I would never be like, oh my goodness, ask me. I wouldn't do that.
I tell them that.
Mm-hmm. But I understand not wanting to be that person. I respect that.
But after the election, there's so much stuff going on, so much rancor.
Oh, goodness.
That people ask me what you think about it.
Brandt's the interpreter.
And it's interesting, too, because I know people who voted for three options, mm-hmm. you know, and didn't vote for anybody, mm-hmm. voted for Trump, voted for Hillary. And a lot of people that I work with didn't vote for either one of the two parties. They went the third party route.
Right.
And they still are a little hesitant to ask about it because tensions are so high.
Yes, I understand that.
So what would you like me to tell them?
Tell them I said. I don't know what specifically they want to know. Like, do they, what are they asking?
What was it? That's a good question. I think they're flummoxed by the presumption that everybody who voted for Trump is racist.
Okay, I get
and
that.
And that throws them. They don't understand it. And at the same time, they didn't vote. Many of them didn't vote for Trump themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But the, oh my gosh, you know, everybody, we're living among 59s and some million plus change,
mm-hmm.
overt racists or covert racists.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get that.
Okay.
So, but they see a lot of it out there. Like, that's the conclusion.
Okay.
So they want to know what you think about that.
I don't know. I think that it is not fair to judge people that way. It's not fair to paint with that broad brush. I don't like when that broad brush is used with me or with people of color. That is what I've told my kids who are, you know, struggling with the election, is that you can't do what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, you know, if someone is saying something that is or affirming an idea that could affect you as a person, affect me as a person, I'm heightened to that.
Of course.
And if it does not affect you as a person, I know we hate to boil things down like this because then we feel like we're not good people, but we are humans, and humans care about the things that affect them directly.
Well, okay, case in point, coal mining.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Hillary's against it. Trump's like, I love coal mining, mm-hmm. can't get enough of it.
Right.
Coal miners like, we love that guy.
Yes.
All the other issues, because it affects them.
Right.
Me not being in the coal industry,
mm-hmm.
even in an ancillary way.
Right.
it wasn't a big thing for me. I don't think about the environment that much, mm-hmm. or whatever in terms of coal. So it's not on my radar screen.
But you would understand that if you then voted for someone who was against it, that a coal mining family who had built their whole, you know, community around that would be like, oh my goodness, you.
No, I'd
you
say, what
understand?
Are you whining about, you bunch of losers?
Well, my suggestion would be don't try that.
Exactly.
You know what? You
exactly.
see what I'm saying?
Yes, and this is more important. This is more important than that. And that's very important for some people. But like, that is one thing I keep saying to people and have mm-hmm. been since we've been friends, or I've been learning more about about what Jesus means.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is that if there's people in my Christian family who are hurting, I do want to identify with them.
Mm-hmm.
So coal miners that I'm not, African Americans, which I'm not,
mm-hmm.
whatever, you're my brother or sister, it better be on my radar screen how you feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
It better matter.
Yeah.
So I'm trying.
I appreciate that. And conversely, I am trying to understand that these are people, Sherry, who you love, you've been in their homes, you've been, you know, wherever with them. If they voted that way, that you don't get to discount or erase every part of history that you have with a person because they voted a certain way. And honestly, that is difficult for me. And I've been very honest about the struggle post-election, but I am committed to the struggle and I'm committed to the process. So what I will not do is say, okay, I'm all right. Everything is fine, because whatever that is that I feel inside that comes along with being a person of color and being disenfranchised in certain ways, being marginalized in many ways from a child, that's just, it's just the way it is. I know that it will manifest itself in a different way if I don't process it the right way. So that's why I keep talking about it with you. I won't hide it in the dark. I won't talk about it with my friends and family who feel the same way I do and work myself up into a frenzy. Mm-hmm. I expose myself to other people. Expose myself. That's how I'm getting through
this.
That's
one way to handle it. And again, I don't have to understand. I don't have to. It's not incumbent on me to understand why you would do that.
Jesus,
I don't get it.
So.
Look, I don't get it. In my culture,
we don't do that.
Well, some of us do, but I don't know why they do it either. So the point is not to judge that.
So what you can tell people is there is a suspicion in the African-American community, and I am trying everything in me and submitting that to Calvary. Every day, what I told my mom, I called the quote unquote spirit of suspicion, the spirit of side eye, of looking at people and saying, now, do you really like me? Or do you think certain things of me because the color of my skin? It is very difficult when you see white nationalists celebrating someone, mm-hmm. and then having people that you love celebrating the same person.
Mm-hmm.
That it's weird. That's very difficult mm-hmm. to put
at best,
in.
It's weird.
Yes, when you see the KKK having a parade for someone, and you too, my friend or my brother and sister in Christ, are celebrating that same person.
Okay, so people can at least understand. Are you okay still with saying who you didn't vote for?
I am okay. I did not vote for either major candidate.
Okay, so I want people to understand that.
Yeah.
It's not a political screen.
No, it is not.
You got somebody who has a lot of instincts that line up with conservatives.
Yes.
And a lot of sensibilities that will line up with people that are that understand what it means to be African American,
mm-hmm.
and why you don't feel welcome necessarily with certain crowds in the Republican Party.
Yes.
So for people who are listening, they're just like, well, just embrace it. Like, they don't, I just wish somebody in the Republican Party, gosh, we're getting political here.
We are. Should we?
I hope people understand this. I think most people will agree with this. Maybe some won't, but I think most will. You'll understand at least. Like, I wish they'd stand up in the Republican Party and say, there's the door for all you guys that are into this white, whatever it is. Like, our tent's big. It's not that big. Get out of here. And do it so often and so clearly that it would welcome people in.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing, flip side, the other side. Mm-hmm. I mean, the other side is monolithic on some issues.
Yeah.
And I think they're horrible.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be great if they repudiated those things.
Yes.
All that to say, at the very least, you have somebody who's a friend and you respect their opinions. So it's a tone thing. I wrote an article about sexuality a while back, just to hit on every single hot button
Please
issue.
Please do.
And I think unpacked a very biblical understanding of traditional morality.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm a traditionalist on marriage, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this earns me great disfavor with some people, but a lot of pro-gay people mm-hmm. were retweeting the article,
mm-hmm.
even as I was saying what I think about the biblical limitations of our sexual desire.
Mm-hmm.
And because it was the tone.
Right.
And they even told me so,
mm-hmm.
because there was understanding there.
Mm-hmm.
I was acknowledging what the church has done to people for so long and the pain that people have been through,
mm-hmm.
and how I don't define them based on that identity.
Mm-hmm.
The tone meant so much that people who disagreed with me would send it to their friends.
Mm-hmm.
So that tells me something about maybe how this can be addressed. Does that make any sense?
That does. It makes perfect sense. Any feeling of being demoralized after the election had less to do with the person elected and more to do with the interaction between supposed believers,
right,
in social media and in other spaces. I turned to God and I said, they don't care about coming together and all of these extra issues that we have on the side, whatever they may be and may affect our vote. I think we could do a lot more with those issues united instead of letting those issues divide us. And it is about tone, but I don't know if we know how to use the right tone if we don't accept the fact that we're family.
Totally agree. And in fact, writing about the sexuality thing, mm-hmm. I was thinking specifically of people in mind who identify as homosexual, mm-hmm. who are friends of mine.
Mm-hmm.
I won't say things because they're listening.
Right.
But I know them. That's right. Why. That's the difference.
Yes.
And if I didn't, I'd post anything. And wow, that was off key because I didn't know them. And Sherry and I have said this many times, and I hope people can understand this. I hope you can understand this. Like, I think what we're reaping is a culture that we've grown over time of division.
Mm-hmm.
So now because you're not in relationship, you can say stuff like that. So we haven't been in relationship for a long time. Talking about black and white Christians, we've been, you know, occasionally have a potluck once a year with it. Okay. But in general, it's fine. We have all white church over here, all black, maybe one white guy at the black church, one black person at the white church somewhere, but you know, whatever. It doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. And it does matter. Because now we don't have the friends and relationships to draw on to be able to talk about things with the right tone, for instance. There's things I will not write because I'll picture you in my head,
mm-hmm.
or my wife in my head,
mm-hmm.
or my kids in my head,
mm-hmm.
or anybody I know and love. And if people don't know who the other is, they'll just post anything, not thinking about it. Well, now maybe you know. Having heard Sherry, for instance, if you're a white person and she's on Facebook and she sees your post, maybe you post differently. And maybe it's good. It's not censorship.
Mm-hmm.
It's wisdom. You start to realize, wait a second, I shouldn't be so sure of myself with this. I shouldn't be so pompous and act like it's just obvious to everybody who's intelligent, because now I know people who are intelligent and reasonable and loving and mature who see it differently. But if you don't know anybody like that, then you're just going to be a jerk online. I'm talking to the left, too, on that. I mean, good grief.
That's everybody.
Oh, my goodness.
That is everybody.
Presumption of intellectual superiority. I've talked about this guy I was talking to the other day. I was just so thrown because I'm not a complete leftist, but I seem to be as smart as he was. And he just didn't know what to do.
Happen?
Like, how does this? Okay, don't know, you're supposed to be some sort of a knave. You're a redneck. You're anybody who believes. You know, like I'm talking about with marriage, or can't possibly have a good argument because they've been attacking straw men for so long. Well, now you might know there's somebody who's thoughtful, who loves you, who disagrees, and maybe you can think about it differently. I hope that makes sense.
It does. I'm glad we can talk about this because just to be gut level honest, a lot of people don't have this opportunity in their lives.
Nope.
They don't. And I try to explain that again to my kids that if you are the majority race, then where do you get a chance to get the idea and of what is wrong? I mean, you have to go to Brandt to get to me because
right.
you don't
right.
have anybody else.
Right. Right.
Whereas when you're the minority, you have it's always around you because you're not the majority. So I'm glad we're able to do this so that, you know, maybe you don't have it in your life and you can understand that it is difficult when you've lived a certain way your whole life being this color your whole life and experience the things you've experienced it affect you. I don't have the luxury of distancing myself from it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the luxury of saying, yeah, you may say some racist things, but then there's this. I don't have that luxury because of, you know, being a person of color.
Yeah, we have the luxury being majority culture of honestly just not thinking about it that much.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a given. I mean, it's just not on, again, the radar screen that much.
And that makes sense to me. And I that's where I want to be able to be graceful. And
I appreciate that. Can I interrupt, though,
mm-hmm.
and say, and that's where I also want to put it on our radar screen.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, it's because of Christ.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for Jesus, I don't care about the radar screen.
Right.
Like, whatever
I
want to think about is fine. Too bad for you. You know, I don't care. But you can't dismiss your brothers and sisters in Christ who are having a different narrative, a different experience. And you can't say, oh, they're just all of them. All of them are wrong.
every single solitary time. Every time you're wrong.
Yeah. Well, they just don't. They just need to like that's what we can't do that. You cannot be that dismissive. And if it's your family, and they're hurting or they've got something that's of a concern to them, it's a concern to you because they're family. Think about your own family. Your own wife is hurting. Your own kids are hurting. It's not like, well, you know, you guys just...
Let me show you this video and this article, and here are some bullet points to tell you you're not really hurting.
Yeah, you're not really hurting.
Yeah.
I got the stats should show you. It's either going to be a relationship or done. We actually recorded a thing at 4 a.m. the next morning.
After the election.
And then we were going to put it out as a podcast, and then Sherry punted it.
Which I never punt. I'm always like, go, go, go,
I always
go.
Punt.
Yeah.
I'm always like, you know that? Don't put that up. I don't like what I said.
But it was way too emotional. And it was, you know, I hadn't really settled down mentally and emotionally. I want to be able to love people without suspicion. I want to be able to love people without asterisks and caveats. I want to be able to love. And if anything, this election has shown me where I fall desperately short. And the Bible says perfect love casts out all fear. And so what I'm asking God to do is perfect that love in me, because he has me here for a reason. I do know that. And I also know that what he said still remains the same, Brent. Mm-hmm. He still said be one. Even if we remain divided until, you know, whenever, he still said unity was the thing. And so I have to be able to stand on that and walk in that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not always easy because this isn't a woe is me kind of thing, but because I'm juggling all kinds of worlds. You know what I mean?
Oh, like boo hoo hoo, Sherry. Sorry.
No,
everything you're saying is right. Smack on. It makes me think too, like, if there's a Satan, and I believe there is, because Jesus said so
mm-hmm.
multiple times and described him as a liar and a destroyer. Like, so if Jesus' priority is unity, which mm-hmm. it clearly is,
mm-hmm.
then Satan's priority is going to be disunity. Mm-hmm. So to the extent that, just think about that, to the extent that you're okay with disunity, you're okay with, we don't need relationship. Yeah, it's not even, shouldn't even be on the agenda. Like, okay, what side are we fighting on here? Because that's going to be top priority to destroy if you're a destroyer and a liar. And I think we're buying into a lie. I think it's what's happened. Doesn't matter. Not that big of a deal. Oh, they're all crazy. They're all wrong. Get over themselves. That's a lie. Hey, thanks for listening to the podcast. And it's been a really cool podcast. And oh my goodness. I have to interrupt a podcast.
We're not even on the air.
Breaking animal news breaks. We come on with it. It doesn't matter whether we're on the air or not.
Isn't that interesting?
24/7, I man the breaking animal news desk. I'm Brent Hansen. True story.
Okay.
Chicago politician who spoke out against squirrels hospitalized by squirrel.
Okay.
That's the headline. True story. He's an older gentleman who's an alderman in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this just happened.
Mm-hmm.
And he has long been saying we need to crack down on squirrels in our community because they're costing us too much. Apparently, they're eating through the garbage cans mm-hmm. that the city issued.
Right.
So the sanitation department has to replace those. It's costing them $300,000 a year. He's like, enough of these squirrels. It gets rid of them. It's been kind of a cause for him.
Mm-hmm.
People started to associate him with it.
Okay.
He's riding his bike down the street, out of nowhere.
Bug squirrels took him out.
A squirrel throws himself into the spokes of his tire, of his front wheel, causing him to crash. He goes over the thing. He broke his skull.
Oh, God.
He's okay.
Okay, good.
But he cracked his head.
Mm-hmm.
He suffered multiple, like broke a rib
mm-hmm.
and knocked a couple teeth out. And he's in the hospital.
Just want to make sure what we're saying here at the Breaking Animal News Desk, we're saying that this was intentional by a group of squirrels.
All I do is report. You decide. It's fair and balanced. But you tell me, a squirrel lost its life doing this,
you
obviously.
You said he hurled himself into
the spokes.
Okay, so that sounds intentional. You're saying this was intentional.
He did hurl himself into the spokes. I don't understand it. And now this guy's in the hospital, and the Chicago TV station's like, what in the world?
Are we going to...
I don't know what to make of it. I'm not trying. I'm just giving you the facts. There's no commentary. He's trying to get rid of squirrels, and a squirrel comes out of nowhere. Of all the people in the world, how many times have you heard of a squirrel jumping into somebody's spokes? Never.
So what do you think, that there was surveillance, squirrel surveillance, and he knew he rode his bike and when and where?
The alderman says it was like a suicide attack. He said that. So I think a lot of times we're like, oh, squirrels don't care what we say.
I don't even know what he's saying. They have little televisions.
I don't know.
This is ridiculous.
It's not. It's the fact, and I won't have somebody telling me that it's ridiculous. You can look it up. Squirrel attacks anti-squirrel politician and teaches him a thing or two. You can look it up yourself.
This is the Brandt and Sherry podcast, sponsored by Metashare. For more info about the show or about Brandt's book, Unoffendable, check out BrantHanson.com.